ለምለሻ ገናንጅና ስረቀያ ቻክሹር ወንሚሪካም የነተስማይ ሽግረነ ማሃ I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, who has opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge, while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, this afternoon, or midday, we are celebrating Vaishnava initiation. I'm going to explain what initiation is. There's two types of initiation that are taking place today. One is called Hari Nam initiation. Second type is called Raman initiation or Gayatri initiation. So, the word initiation basically means to begin. Why do we say it means to begin? Because when you take initiation, you are making a promise. The essence of initiation is to make a promise of loyalty to Krishna and the spiritual master. And when one makes a promise of loyalty to the spiritual master and Krishna, then it is taken very seriously. Of course, before then, one can chant the holy names. One can certainly be prasadam before then. There's no barrier for that. And there's some spiritual advancement being made, no doubt about it. But spiritual advancement really takes off dynamically, exponentially, when one takes initiation and makes promises. What are the promises the devotees are making? Of course, with the first initiation, they are promising to follow four regulated principles, which are very easy to follow. No intoxication, that includes kava, for those of you from Fiji, which is some of you. That includes, of course, cigarettes, different anything that causes your mind to be altered. The reason we don't want your mind to be altered is that you're ready in illusion. You and everyone, not me of course, but everyone is thinking of themselves to be something they're not. You're thinking that you're from Fiji, you're thinking you're a man, you're thinking you're a woman, you're thinking you're a certain age. You're thinking that you have certain education, you're thinking you're a nurse, you're thinking you're a doctor, you're thinking you're a mechanic, or whatever you're thinking you are. That's illusion. Because it's temporary. Krishna says in the Gita, Nasato vidyate bhavo, navavo vidyate sataha, ubayora padrishtel antas, 20 years tattva darshani. That if you think things that are temporary as very serious, in a very serious way, that's maya, or illusion. Eternally, we're spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. So when you take intoxication, you get into an illusion into it, of an illusion. It's even worse. You go deeper in the ditch, instead of getting out. So we don't take intoxication of any sort, illicit sex life. It's very important to be faithful to your husband or your wife. People should get married. There's boyfriends, girlfriends, best friends, worst friends. This is all G-A-R-B-A-G-E. God. If one is going to have a relationship between men and women, get married. And have nice Krishna conscious children. You see so many nice little children here. They're very nice. Children are nice, and it all goes downhill from there when they get older. Unless they take up Krishna consciousness, of course. So no illicit sex, because it's extremely important to make commitments to each other when there is any sort of relationship, to take vows and commitments, and that keeps society together. And so no gambling, I don't think that's a problem for anybody here. And no eating of the fish and eggs, the reason for that, and including lobsters,
what else?
Bugs, what else is there? Snakes. So we have to make sure we cover everything. No eating these things because it's cruel. And these things cannot be offered to Krishna. Because if you eat food without offering to Krishna, you're eating bad karma. You wonder why you're getting sick. You wonder why you have legal problems. You wonder so many things. That's because you have bad karma. And if you eat any of the things I just mentioned, or even if you eat vegetables without offering to Krishna, you're getting bad karma. Your life will become a disaster. That's a threat. Not coming from me, it's coming from Krishna. So, you don't want bad karma. And bad karma keeps you from understanding Krishna. So, we want to get rid of actually bad and good karma and get Krishna karma. We want to become happy. Because really, whatever we do, whatever activity we execute, it's all in the search for happiness or the avoidance of pain. So by the process of Krishna consciousness, you can become Kevalananda Kanda. That means always happy. I've been executing or following Krishna consciousness for 50 years. I'm only 55. No, I wish. So for 50 years. And it gets better every day, more blissful every day. The best choice I ever made in life to follow Srila Prabhupada. I met Srila Prabhupada in 1971, and that was it. I became happy, happier, and happiest after that point. So this is the secret. So we have the four regular principles, and in addition to that, people are promising to chant japa. That means to chant on these little japa beads that everybody has. They chant 16 rounds a day. Of course, before initiation, just chant whatever you can, one round, two rounds, three rounds. We don't force people to chant 16. But the more you chant, the more you want to chant. Really important point. Because the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Obhina Kvam Nama Namino. It's the same as Krishna. And the benefit of Krishna, in spite of being God, the benefit of coming in contact with Krishna is that Krishna is the most attractive person. In fact, that's what the name Krishna means. Krish means to attract. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, you have this verse, Krishi go raksha vanijan vaisha karma subhavaja. That a farmer, he pulls a tractor, or not pulls a tractor, he operates a tractor that pulls, or a bull that pulls the plow. So Krish means to attract, Na means Ananda. Ananda means unlimited bliss, unlimited happiness. So by chanting Krishna's name, you come in contact with the source of bliss, the most attractive person. And you develop a higher taste. So everything else appears to be dry in comparison to chanting Krishna's name. So we're not forcing anyone to chant. None of these devotees were forced to chant. They just started and they became addicted to chanting. Just like sometimes on special days like Ekadashi, which is a day for special meditation on Krishna, I chant 64 rounds. And when I chant 64 rounds, I can't stop. I just can't stop. I keep going. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Time to go to sleep. No, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It gets more and more blissful. So those who are taking first initiation are promising to do those things. They come to the standpoint of feeling so much ecstasy that they want to do it for the rest of their lives. It's not forced. Nobody's forcing them. You can be a Krishna conscious devotee without chanting 16 rounds. But if you want to take initiation and go back to Godhead
and be connected to the spiritual master, then it should be mass. But you have to do it spontaneously. It has to be something you really want to do. It has to be from the heart. So, and then, if those who are chanting 16 rounds want to get closer to Krishna and more ecstatic, then they try to avoid what we call the 10 offenses on chanting, the 10 things that stop them from feeling ecstasy. What are those 10 things? Very quickly. First thing is to consider the names of the demigods, which are all great devotees. Brahma, Shiva, they're all great devotees to be equal or independent. The first one is to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord who dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. And that offense is very dangerous because Krishna loves his devotees so much that if we offend them through our words, we offend them through our actions, or even in the mind, Krishna gets very upset with us. So we should always serve the devotees of the Lord. The second impediment or offense, as we say, is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Brahma or Indra or Vayu to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Krishna Vishnu. They're not. They're all servants. Lord Shiva, Vayu, Indra, Brahma, they're all servants of Vishnu and Krishna. Vishnu and Krishna are the same person. Advaita, Jyota, Nadi, Nanda, Guru, etc. So, and then the third offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master, because the spiritual master is speaking on behalf of Krishna and guiding the disciple according to the disciple's psycho-physical nature. That means every one of us has a certain nature. Someone by their nature likes to study and likes to talk. Somebody by their nature likes to manage or protect others. It's called Kshatriya. Somebody by their nature loves to make money. That's called Vaishya, Vaniya. For those who speak Hindi. And some people just like to do artistic things. So the spiritual master sees each and every disciple, in addition to chanting, following all the practices, what is your nature? What can you do best for Krishna? Because you can go back to God at doing business for Krishna. If you're going to do business for Krishna, you should do unlimited business for Krishna. Sometimes people say to people who like business, just keep it small. Like they say that. Just keep your business. No! If you're a businessman, make it big. Prabhupada said you should shoot for a rhinoceros. Because you don't have any rhinoceri here. That means do the biggest you can. If you can speak big. Go around the world and speak about Krishna. If you can manage many temples. And if you can do business, make unlimited money. We need unlimited money for Krishna. Nothing wrong with money. It's not material. Right? And if you can be an artist, make many paintings. And you go back to Godhead. No problem. So the spiritual master guides the disciple in that way. All right, next offense or impediment to avoid is to criticize Vedic literatures or any literatures which glorify God. In any religion, they glorify God in a bona fide way. Next offense is to consider the chanting simply imagination or the glories of chanting imagination. Next offense is to give some of your own stupid interpretation on the holy name. There is a bona fide interpretation. Krishna means the most attractive person who gives you ecstasy. Hare is Radharani. Oh, energy of the Lord, Radharani, please let me serve Krishna. Rama is Lord Ram, for you Ram Bhaktas, Hanuman Bhaktas. And also Balaram, and also Radha Rama. There you go. 3 in 1. Pretty good. So, that's bona fide interpretation. Next offense is to commit sins on the strength of chanting. In other words, by chanting Hare Krishna, you get rid of all your bad karma. We know that. That doesn't mean you keep doing bad karma. Like you keep drinking some beer Beer? They have this beer named Corona Beer. You've heard of that before? Famous. Comes from Mexico. Even in Fiji you've heard of that, right? Corona Beer. So that's where the coronavirus goes from. No, I'll get sued. So now that you drink the beer and go, Hare Krishna, Krishna, no. You stop drinking the beer, or else you won't be forgiven if you keep drinking beer, chanting Hare Krishna, drinking kava, chanting Hare Krishna, etc. So the next offense is to consider the Vedic rituals, like Karmakanda rituals, to be equal to chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna is transcendental. There's things, rituals that we do, like one ritual we do is like wearing a dhoti, that's a ritual. It's not the same as chanting Hare Krishna. There's many demons who wear dhotis. Ravana wore a dhoti, right? Kumbhakarna wore a big dhoti. Sarvanaka wore a sari. So wearing a dhoti doesn't make you Krishna conscious. In fact, it says that many people in Kali Yuga, they dress up in religious dress, and they're actually demons. It says many demons will take birth in Brahmin families in Kali Yuga. Dangerous. So, anyway, so the chanting is completely transcendental to all that. You can chant anywhere and everywhere. Now, there's no special place you can chant. You can chant when you're in an airplane. You can chant when you're dying. You can chant when you're in pain. Hopefully you do that. Anyway, no rules and regulations. Just chant. Chant, chant, chant. Can't get there, but chant. So, there's no hard and fast rules. So next offense is to tell people more about Krishna consciousness that will cause them to commit offenses. You have to be very careful when presenting Krishna consciousness not to tell people things that will drive them away from Krishna. For example, I can tell you things that are true that will make you run out of this room screaming. I can tell you things about Krishna's illusory energy. I could tell you things about this body. I could say this body is just a piece of stool. And the beauty is just skin deep. And you peel off your skin and you think you're beautiful. Yeah, anyway, all the ladies would run away if I started talking like that. So I don't talk like that. In fact, I just did. But anyway, I don't talk like that because it will drive people away from Krishna. I tell people the positive things. There's so much negativity in this world. We should always think positively. Krishna is great. His holy name is great. Don't worry if you're in Maya. If you chant Hare Krishna, you'll get out of Maya. Anyway. So, tenth offense, or the tenth impediment, is to not have complete faith in the chanting holy names and maintain material attachments. It's not offensive to be materially attached. It's offensive to try to increase your material attachment. We should try to get rid of them. These material attachments are keeping us from enjoying life. It's like someone is swimming and they have weights on them. You understand? They put weights on them and they're trying to swim. It's better to get rid of the weights so you can swim fast. So if you want to swim in the ocean of spiritual enjoyment, or cross over the ocean of material enjoyment, you got to get rid of all the weights. And the weights are basically things that stop you from being Krishna conscious. Inattention to chanting is one of those weights. So we should be very attentive and love Krishna. Every day we chant Hare Krishna, it's like a love song. That's how we should think about it. Like, you all love Bollywood love songs, right? Yes? No? Yes. So, and you love these songs. Oh dear, I can't live without you. Where are you, my beloved? Every culture has that. So we should be chanting like that for Krishna. Yugayitam nimishena chakshu shapra vajayitam. Where are you, Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I run the Tanuja Kinkaram, Patitamam, Vishunaya Bhavambhudam. Oh, Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant, somehow or other, I am here in Fiji. Somehow or other, in a material body in Fiji, thinking life is enjoyable. Anyway, save me, fix me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So we should chant like that. So anyway, that's the chanting. Study Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shashtaka, that's positive. Understand with the right mood of chanting. That's basically the first initiation. Second initiation, I'll talk about real quickly. It's called Brahman initiation. What is a Brahman? A Brahman is not someone with the name Sharma, Tree Baby, Chakra Baby, Eka Baby. I know there's not another name like Eka Baby. A Brahman is one who has qualities from the mode of goodness. They're sama, they're equal poise, happiness, distress. They don't get angry. If they're driving a car and someone cuts them off, they don't go, rah! They feel compassionate. And then they blow the horn afterwards. So that's sama. You understand? Equal poise. Happiness, distress. That's the first lesson in Gita. So dhamma, then they learn to control their senses. The senses are meant for serving Krishna. So we accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable. That's Krishna consciousness. And then we enjoy life with our senses. We engage our senses in chanting and hearing and reading about Krishna and serving the devotees. It's really nice. And taking prasanna. That's all. And then a Brahman is austere in the sense of just guarding his life upon what pleases Krishna or what displeases Krishna, accepting what's favorable, rejecting what's unfavorable. And a Brahman above all is shocham, clean. Clean means inside, outside, inside by origin memory, Krishna, outside by bathing. The Brahman is known as Suchi, he's cleaning all the time. And then a Brahman is tolerant, religious, and also very important to maintain the Brahminical status, one should study Prabhupada's books and other Vedic literatures and apply the knowledge, jnana vijnana. Very, very important. So these are the qualities of a Brahman. The Brahman develops these qualities by good association, chanting the holy names properly, and the Brahman is considered like a priest, someone who guides others in Krishna consciousness. It's not simply someone who rings a bell. It's someone who sets an example. As Krishna says in the Gita, Yajyat Acharya Shrestas, Tatat Evetrojana. So all of you should be thinking of setting an example for others, whether you're initiated, first initiation, second initiation. It's my duty to set an example, to be an acharya, to set an example for others and guide people. And all of us are promising by this initiation to serve the mission of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is the ultimate Siksha Guru of everyone. Siksha Guru means guidance. Whatever guidance I can give, I'm giving because Srila Prabhupada has guided me. So the disciple's good fortune is made by the guidance of the spiritual master. And my guidance is to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. That's why we're taking initiation. To save the world, to bring more people. What would please Prabhupada more than anything else? Bringing people to his lotus feet. Yare deka karika Krishna upadesh. Marigai guru boy tore upadesh. It's everyone's duty to become guru, bring people to Krishna. Simply sitting down and chanting yourself is nice. But what will actually please Krishna is when you bring people to his lotus feet, make those offerings. That's the offering that Krishna likes the most. Krishna lights, a leaf of fruit, a little water, patram pushpam padam toyam yome vasvipriyachati. But even more, Krishna likes jiva soul being brought in. That's his favorite offering. You understand? His favorite, Krishna's favorite offering. But please do that. Everyone become guru in whatever, shiksha guru in whatever capacity you have. Okay, so, because it's already late, so we're going to give out the names. Is that all right? And actually, everyone should get their neck beads. Their Hare Krishna neck beads. Oops. Okay, and so the devotees who are going to be taking first initiation will be coming up, and one by one, and I'm going to call the names. First, they will go and offer obeisances to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Then they will go and offer their dandavats to the deities, and then offer their respects to Prabhupada's servant who is sitting here. So first is Prakashni Raj. Why don't you call them in order? The next one is Pradeep Kumar. Next one is Omlata. You chant Hare Krishna softly. So your name now is, you have to be with the right hand, Padma Mukhi Devi Dasa. Padma Mukhi Devi Dasa. So that's the name of Radharani, in case you didn't know. Padma Mukhi, Mukhi Yuman. Now, lotus flower. Padma Mukhi Devi Dasa, Yuja. Okay, and next is
Hardeep Kumar. Oh, there you are. Hare Krishna. Many of these devotees I know for many years. Okay. And what are the four regulated principles? No intoxication. No copper, right? And how many pounds? 16 pounds minimum every day. So your name, if it means with your right hand, is Parampara Das. Parampara Das. Okay. Next is Om Lata. Where is she? Om Lata, and after her is Rana Kumar. So, get the beads with your right hand. So your name is, actually, change it here. So your name is Gayatri Devi Das. Hare Krishna. Gayatri Devi Das Ki Jai. It's a nice name. Okay, very nice. And Ranul Kumar. Okay. Okay. What are the four of the principles?
Not eating meat, fish, egg, no gambling, no prostitution, no sex.
How many rounds?
16 rounds.
16 rounds. Okay, you get the beads with your right hand. You're going to get a name that everybody would like to have. Your name is now, get the piece with you right there, Ramadut. Ramadut Hanuman. Ramadut Hanuman Pujai. Nice name,
right? Need a splitter.
No. You look like the Lacha. So the next four, Ashika, who was first?
Sutta.
So, what are the four eightfold principles? Okay. And how many rounds of the day? 16 rounds every day. And so you get to leave with the right hand. So your name now is Odarya Leela. Odarya Leela, so the word Odarya means merciful. So Leela, of course, means pastimes. It means the merciful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You're the servant of the merciful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So who's next? What's that? Smriti. Oh, yes. Am I missing some bees? So, let's see. What are the four regular principles?
No meat, fish, or eggs, no gambling, no illicit.
Good. How many rounds?
16
rounds minimum. So your name here, name now, right hand of the beast, is Sita Leela Devi Dasi. Sita Leela Devi Dasi. So this is, okay, Sheila Wattiri. Can we have one more person? I have her bee. No, not more bees. Isn't there another person? Last one. I go to Shalini
Davis.
What?
Well,
hi. She's in place. Okay. Okay, so then I don't need the extra beads. Okay, whoops. Please call the girl. What are the four regular? You have to translate for her.
Yes,
Okay, very good. So your name, you get the bees with your right hand, is Sachi Rani Devi Das. Sachi Rani Devi Das. Okay, and then the Brahmin threads. I got a chant on those. You have some preparation to do before?
Yes,
so I'll chant while you're doing the preparation and then give the Brahmin threads out for the initiates.